you want me to start?
Yes, it's okay.
Well, we need to call the meeting order first, right?
Yes.
For the recorder, though.
Pardon me?
The recorder wasn't on when you called it to order, so if you could just call it to order.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We're a little confused today, evidently. I thought I had done that. The meeting's called to order, and we are listening to public comments now, and Chantel Power.
Okay.
About, for the benefit of the group, it's on murals.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. My name is Chantel Power. I'm an associate planner with the Community and Economic Development Department here with the city. Recently has come to our attention that we have several churches and schools in the area that have a need to keep shipping containers on their sites. Generally, we would require that they screen them in some way. And typically, the way that we would do this is to build some sort of enclosure around it. In this case, it just seemed like that could maybe not be the best way to screen these shipping containers. It's a low-cost way for them to keep earthquake equipment on site that they're required to do from the school districts in the case of charter schools. With churches, it's usually just, you know, overflow event equipment, that sort of thing. We don't want to create a situation that is necessarily burdensome for them for this kind of thing. So what I had as an idea that I wanted to propose to the commission was that we could work with the churches and charter schools as they come in, as we see this need coming up. And maybe work with some of our local artists to have murals painted on the shipping containers. Have them. We would look at the placement of the containers on the site to make sure that they're not in any public rights of way. They're not in any required parking areas. That, you know, the fire department can still access the site as they need to. And then work with your commission and maybe some local artists. I'd like to maybe bring our neighborhood associations in to give a little bit of input on, you know, what kind of murals we would want to put on something like that. And for my part, I would just give some guidance just to make sure that it's not signage that we're putting up. So in other words, a school could put their school name and a mascot, but not, you know, we're enrolling during these dates or something like that, right? So that was it. That was just something that I wanted to pose to the commission to see if you would be interested in working with some of these groups and kind of creating a little bit of that of those relationships that we need to build a little bit more art.
And we will, when we get to our agenda item on murals, we'll tie that in.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions, then as that comes up, feel free. I'll keep in the audience here.
And then
I'm with her.
Okay.
Yeah. both of these gentlemen.
All right, okay.
I have Mason, who is representing Generations Church on Palm and Irvington, and then David Meyer from the San Bernardino Diocese. I met David in relation to a project for Lady of Assumption Church on 48th and Peach Street.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
It's nice we never have anybody on.
No.
And Chantal, just to clarify,
yes.
This is artwork or mural, so to speak, on private property.
On private property, yes. For the most part, they're either charter schools or private churches.
Right. We need to, I didn't take roll, but everyone is here except Mr. Cataldo and Mr. Moss. We need to approve the minutes of the meeting of February 19th. That's in your agenda packet. Anybody find any?
I move that we accept.
It's been moved to accept the minutes. Is there to approve the minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of February 19th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
And first on the agenda then is a report or review or whatever you want to call it of Art Fest, which was Saturday. On the hottest day we've had so far.
Yes, it was. Arts Fest on Saturday was a very successful event. We had a lot of participation from community and local artists. Both stages did very well. We had a huge crowd at both ends. We got a lot of really positive feedback on the event. Just walking through and being able to talk to people, they were really enjoying the music, enjoying the bands and the schools, the little kids and their dance costumes, and a lot of the artists had a lot of really good feedback about the event as well. The only downside was the wind, of course, but you can't really predict weather. But overall, a great turnout. Jim and I have yet to discuss actual numbers for attendance, but we'll be looking at that here in the next week or so. And hopefully at the next meeting, we'll have a solid number for you guys. But overall, very successful.
Good.
Any
wonderful
comments from the group?
I went to and I enjoyed myself.
The band, the kids were great.
They were, yes.
Thank you. We need to talk about the Culture Development Construction Fee Fund. And some of you may not know the history of this, but for many, many, many years, there's been a cultural development fee that developers pay to the city. It is out of that fund that any money for the arts has come. Last year, there was a discussion about whether this was a fee or a tax. And so the city attorney's office examined it carefully for quite a while and came up with a rationale that said it was a tax, not a fee. And at that point, it was, I thought, going to be put in the general fund. And evidently that has not happened. There's still a separate cultural development construction fee tax. And so what we're looking at, and I think that's where it is the fact that in the budget, in this year's budget, in this fiscal year's budget, there was $300,000 put aside for the arts. We have not used it for a variety of reasons, as you know, because we did not get started. We had a long time getting people appointed and getting this commission going. So we did not use it. It was going to be used for the grants, and then the decision was at the last meeting not to move ahead at this point with the grants. So we're trying to find out, and we asked, I think, if we could, excuse me, we asked if we could carry that $300,000 over or what. And Jim, you know.
There's a possibility that it can be carried over as a carryover budget, but discussion with the finance department, the right way to do it would be for the commission to recommend that it be placed in next year's budget. So, I mean, it's basically six of one, half a dozen of another. But it is subject to council approval to carry it over into the next fiscal year, whether it be by a carryover or a new request. But I think it's important to for us, for you guys as a commission, to come up with what we're going to do. I can put together an explanation through discussion with our finance director and a subsequent discussion with the city manager. Put together an explanation as to why, what the reason is for the lack of expenditure this year, and we all know that there was several months that the commission didn't meet. By the time the commission was reappointed and we had enough for a quorum to start having meetings and now consistent meetings, it didn't leave you guys the proper amount of time to effectively get the applications out there, accept them, review them, and make those awards. So that's pretty much where we stand with that. It can be carried over, or it can be as just a new request for this upcoming budget year.
Should our request be fairly specific in terms of recommending, simply recommending that $300,000 be placed in the next year's budget for the arts, rather than us saying we recommend carryover or one or the other. We just say placed in the budget, and then the decision is in the finance department as to how that happens.
The decision would is ultimately...
Well, the recommendation
the
would be
from the
finance department.
The recommendation from the fine arts department would be to appropriate or allocate those funds for that use.
Question. Is there anything in there now? I mean, is it proposed already for this $300,000 for this coming year?
We're going through the budgeting process right now. So
my point is, there's a difference of saying, please, can we have $300,000 next year? Or is a difference, can we carry over $300,000 if there's another $300,000 that's going to be given? So I think we need to be sure which way you're doing that and what you think. Because really, if it's going to be in the budget for $300,000, there's no need for a carryover. I mean,
but we don't know that.
But we don't know that. So
no,
my point is...
No, here's the point. It is in this year's budget. The $300,000 is there.
Why not?
But we can't spend it at this point. I mean, we probably could, but it might not be... I mean, there's no point in coming up with something just to spend the money.
I've got to look at the council action that was taken to see what a step... So that $300,000 was established, it was appropriated. I need to look at what the... If there was specific language in there that said that that $300,000 is for scholarships or grants to local organizations, or if it's for expenditure on just art projects as a whole. Because we could move towards spending some of those funds prior to the end of this fiscal year on projects other than the grants. If the language is in there.
It wasn't specific. The request from the Fine Arts Commission to the city council eventually, but certainly to those who were working on putting the budget together, the request was very specific. It was, we request that at least $300,000 be set aside for the arts. That was the request. And I think that, and so that's the way it appears. And so the reason I asked about us being specific is, would it be better if we can do it either way. We can have a motion to either carry over or reallocate or allocate for next year's budget. Or we can just say we want $300,000 allocated for next year's budget.
I have a question. Because I'm not sure, because I've not gone through this as far as your budgeting is concerned. Within this money, is this money that goes to the symphony or any of those art projects or music projects?
That is exactly what we voted on last month and voted it down. That is exactly what the application that I prepared for you. That's exactly what that was. Yes, the money went to grants to several of the arts organizations in the city. We can't do that, though. We can't just say, well, we like the symphony. I don't think we can. I think we have to do it as an application process in order to be fair. And that's what we voted down.
Well, it's only March. Can't we still do it this year?
I thought that's what you voted against at the last meeting. I'm sorry, I had a timeline, and you said it was too tight.
Well, my point is, this year then is over in June. That's what you're saying.
This year's over in June.
That's the reason, because it's over in June. That is the point. So the budgeting then again starts in July. Okay. Well, that makes. I mean, I was just trying to be more specific since I'm new on this.
So, what is your pleasure in terms of what we recommend?
That we make sure.
Go ahead.
That we be sure that we have $300,000 that's available the 1st of July. for next year.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Yes, I move that we
have $300,000 in the budget
available
for the arts.
For fiscal year 1920.
Yes. Which is July 1.
Yes. In the next fiscal year.
Next fiscal year.
Do we get another lump sum money the next fiscal year, or is this?
That's what we're asking for.
Okay, we're asking for more. Okay, we already have it there, but are they going to add more the next year?
We can't. The question is, can the money that's there right now be carried over?
Yes.
Or shall we just let them decide how that's going to happen? Is it going to be carried over, or is it going to be a new allocation? The motion is to just request that there be $300,000 in the budget for the arts. So however, as they put the budget together, however that works out.
And that would start in July?
Yes.
For this year. So anytime after July of this year, if they recommend that allocating some of that $300,000.
Dottie, if I might add something, I would, if we're going to ask, being that we didn't spend the $300,000 this year, what I would like to see you guys do is start the application process prior to the July 1st date. Worst case scenario is you get applications in and it's not funded the next year, but if we continue to do it the way it was before, we come up against the time it takes to get the applications out there, get them returned, review them. And Dottie, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys were running up against this year after year after year, to where the applications were coming in and there was difficulty getting the funds.
So you're saying if we started the application process sometime soon, mm-hmm. They would be applying for money from the next year's fiscal budget.
Next year being July 1.
Right.
Starting July 1. But if we can start that application process before July 1st, then we can be ready to award at the end of July, 1st of August, that time frame there. And then that gives us that 10-month time period in the fiscal year to make all of that
stuff
happen.
When would they be required to spend it?
I don't think they're... That's all part of... What was the agreement before? Because
they were required to spend it before July 1st of the next fiscal year.
Well, and that's pretty hard. That's a pretty lofty expectation to give an organization X amount of dollars in May and tell them that they had to spend it before July 1st.
No, I'm
think?
Not saying that.
The next year.
The next.
Of the following year.
Yeah. Say they received a notice in May or received a check in May, and that was the problem. But say they received a check in May, and then they couldn't start their program until July 1st. And it could run.
They had 12 months,
full,
basically.
12 months.
Run the full 12 months. Well, you know, we can do that.
To me,
we could start.
You know, applications, the way I see the applications should be like, we should already be getting them, like he says, accepting the application the first January 1st meeting. And then you have until July to get them reviewed, looked at, see by July 1st, you have who you want to award them or recommend to award them. I don't know. Is there a time when they can turn them in?
Well, there's a deadline when they can turn them in. Yeah, absolutely. There has to be. In order for it to be competitive, they have to. Don, I don't know if anybody else is confused. I'm confused.
Confused, too.
I think, you know, so if we made the decision to start the application process now, then our recommendation for
I'm not, I just don't know where we are with making sure that there's money in next year's fiscal budget. Next year's budget. That's, I don't know where we are with that.
And I believe that was exactly where we were last week, or our last meeting, was because we don't know, do we have it or do we not have it? And so that was the reason why we were holding up until we found out, do we have it or not? Because we don't know.
Oh, we know we have. Right now,
we know we have it right now, but
for
next year's budget, it's all based upon approval by the council.
But the council has to approve it.
Council has to approve it.
So we don't know.
Yes, we do know. Well, we don't. We have right now available to be spent $300,000. Our problem is that we don't think, at least most of us who've been through this process before, don't think that we can spend it before the end of this fiscal year. That is why we said, should we ask to have it carried over, or should we ask? For assurance, just recommend that we would like assurance that there will be $300,000 in the budget in the next fiscal year. So,
that's right.
What are we asking for?
That's what you just said.
That's what we asked last time.
So then, my recommendation then would be to start the application process and ask for a carryover of the funds into next year. I think that's the process in order to ask for a carryover and have some substantial reason to carry it over. To just ask for a carryover, I think we're going to have something. If we go ahead and start the application process and ask for the carryover into next year's budget to support the applications that are pending. Then we have some substantial reason to carry those funds over.
Okay, so, Linda, do you want to withdraw that motion that you made?
I will withdraw the motion.
Okay. So, is there a motion to begin the application process now and ask for a carryover of the money into the next year's budget? Is there a motion
makes sense.
For that? Somebody moving that?
Yes.
I mean, Ms. Herrera and Mr. Calleros. I've moved and seconded that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
So we'll start the application. We need to get the application process started.
Right.
And if we can come to the determination of the awards prior to the end of this fiscal year, then that gives us a pretty substantial basis to ask for that carryover.
Right, and that means that the organizations, and we have a lot of decisions to make down the line here, but if we do decide that we want to fund any requests from schools, that timeline works for now. So,
okay.
And we may not. Then we have a lot of decisions to make. But all right, okay. Thank you. Okay, the next heavy one here is the art acquisition policy, and I hope you have all read it. Because it has to go somewhere. I think we said last month, the art acquisition policy that you have before us never went to council. It was a result of a lot of back and forth between the Fine Arts Commission and the city attorney's office. And this was, I think, the final draft, although even if you'll notice up in the right-hand corner, he, and by then I'm talking about Mr. Graham, who was in the city attorney's office and was assigned to do this, had put up in the corner a space for adopted. So it was, I think in his mind, was moving toward council, and it just never got there. So I'm hoping you've read it, understanding that the obvious changes that need to be made are the letterhead, where it talks about Fine Arts Commission, and everywhere in here where it refers to Fine Arts Commission, that needs to be changed. You just should probably say commission. But there, as I've looked through it, those are the areas that need to be changed. So it needs to go, I'm looking for a motion to
send this to the Office of the City Attorney and the Office of the City Manager for review before sending it to the council. For review, and then, yeah, and then for it to go to council if it's ready. Is there a motion to that effect? To send it to City Attorney's Office and City Manager's Office for review, and with and moving and recommending that it go to council if it meets their if it meets the approval of both of those offices to go to council.
Does it have to go to the City Attorney?
Yes.
It came from the City Attorney.
It does have to.
It went to the City Attorney, and there's
already
been,
did that. Yeah.
There's been some changes.
Yeah.
I don't know that this ever came out of the City Attorney's office. Because it was in Stephen Graham, one of the assistant city attorneys, was working on it. Then they eliminated our city attorneys and brought in Best and Krieger outside legal services. I would at least say if it's not something that's already been adopted with the new city attorneys that we have on board, they need to at least go through it and provide any updates that they might have, and then we can make those changes and get it to the city manager's office.
And we really, there are a lot of things we can do, but it would be much clearer when projects come before us in terms of murals and so forth on city property. It'd be much clearer if we had something like this to use as our guide. So is there the motion I suggested? Is somebody ready to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Set it out for review.
Mr. Montesino, is there a second? Calleros. It's been moved and seconded to refer the draft of the Bureau of Acquisition Policy to the City Attorney's Office and to the City Manager's Office for review. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. All right. And we are on murals again. There's a report in your packet from the subcommittee that met to talk about the Second Street, the possibility of replacing the Second Street mural, or redoing the Second Street mural. It's back here. All right. It's after the acquisition policy, right after. And again, I hope we've had a chance to read it. And Ms. Herrera and Mr. Calleros and I met. And do either one of you want to talk about what we went through here in terms of our discussion?
We want to include high schools to work on a potential mural for the second ward. We want to create a competition, although I don't think we came into conclusion if we want to do it a year or 5 years, a competition. Did we come up with that?
Well, actually, what happened was, no, we didn't. I think I had that question every 2 years, but then we had an alternate possibility that came along, and very similar to what has been proposed with the shipping containers. And we didn't make a decision. We didn't make a recommendation either way, I guess that's what I'm saying. So that's kind of where we are in terms of the recommendation regarding the Second Street mural. We did not make a recommendation. We just said, here are some possibilities, here are some ideas. And then the alternate possibility had to do with utility boxes, which sounded much simpler than the mural. And so we did talk about that, but again, we did not make a recommendation. We just wanted you to know that we had talked about that as an alternate, either an alternate possibility or work on both of them, with that one probably being able to be done sooner. Any comments on that one? Yeah. The competition, it's on the second page. And Jenny, you mentioned that this has come up over and over again with this idea. Lots of people like this want to do this. But I didn't realize that the city actually had several utility boxes, and you mentioned that as a...
Yeah, a lot of the upright utility boxes and enclosures that you see around the intersections are street signal, traffic signal boxes. I would say there's probably more, those are more prominent than what would be owned by an outside agency, Edison, something like that. But the majority of the stuff you see around here is going to be city-owned stuff. So in order to wrap those, put artwork on those, that would be a lot like the discussion about murals that you guys had already discussed. Submitting some sort of a design to the department head of that particular department, and then subsequently taking that to council for approval.
And we had talked about one way to begin it, right, was with maybe a competition again among high schools, and particularly the boxes that are closest to the schools, that they would take ownership of decorating them. That seemed to be something that might be applicable.
If I may, I have tried to reach out to the Director of Public Works, who would be in charge of most of the utility boxes. I haven't had a chance to follow up with her, but I do plan to do that just to see what their process would be, if they would have a process for that. And then, we can present that information as it comes up. Other utility boxes would probably fall under the water department for the city, so I could reach out to somebody over there and see if they're willing to work with the commission on that as well.
That would be helpful. And then there was a cost, as you noticed. We had an estimated cost, and that may be less, but it was basically from the company that you contacted. That's what that cost was, $800. So what are your wishes on this in terms of the Second Street mural and the utility boxes? And the fact that we don't have an acquisition policy yet.
Whatever's doable right away to get something like that going, so they can see.
Actually, you think the utility boxes sooner because we can do that.
Yeah, so they'll see what's going on and like, okay, and then you'll get more ideas out there, like, hey, what about this or this place? And once they start opening that up, it's like, okay, you have an idea for a wall or just get it up.
We can make organizations or high schools adopt the box. Mm-hmm. Like you said, take ownership of the box.
So is there a motion to how to proceed with this? And I think, is yours in the form of a motion?
Sure.
To proceed?
Proceed, oh yeah.
With the utility boxes?
Yes.
And keep in mind that we're still processing this?
Yes.
Been moved. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Utility boxes. Okay. There's a motion and second to proceed with utility boxes. And thank you, Chantel. So she will help us make that contact. And Jim also was making some inquiries about that too. So if you vote yes to do this, then I'm going to appoint a committee to begin work on it. I want you to know that. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We need a committee to be working on this, both in contacting with Chantel and seeing how she, where she is, or she'll get information to us, and also on examining the cost. Are there other companies that do this, and how much do they charge, and so on and so forth. We need that information. So, since you've already checked on one company, is that, would you like to be, would you be on this committee?
Yes.
Is there someone else who would like to work with us? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're together.
All right. Okay. Ms. Herrera and Mr. Calleros ask the committee to get the information that we need to begin working on this. What needs to happen? And who's actually going to do the work? And I think that's what that company does. It actually does not wrap.
And Dottie, will the committee also be exploring funding mechanisms as far as sponsorship programs?
That's the other factor that we talked about, was the possible sponsorship that with businesses and so forth. So if you can, maybe with, or with schools, maybe the schools themselves have some money, but that's a possibility too. But, yeah. You can find, or come up, or come back to us with some ideas for sponsorships. And then as we find out more about our art acquisition policy, the whole work on the Second Street mural, I think, will probably begin to take shape. People really need that. We have a list also in there of murals. Remember, as people representing wards, you are supposed to be driving around your ward and taking photographs of murals and with the address. And we had some last month. And are there any more? And Mr. Montesino, you know, we may not have made that clear to you that we would love to drive around your ward to get pictures. I didn't know if you picked up on that last month.
No, I did. In fact, I got a sentence of ours.
Pardon, did you get?
And we were talking about him, but he's going to do. I'm not that good at taking pictures with phones, but he offered to go with me around the ward and take the pictures for me so we can get them to you guys.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, and I know I've been. I know we're several artists. Some of them might be on this already. But.
And then you saw the list from San Bernardino Generation Now, the ones that
he's been
Michael
doing that for years.
And,
he goes out
and at least assessed somehow. Some of them he repaired. Some of them he just said, there's a mural there. So that we will have to look at those again. But those are the ones that he identified when he was doing that work. You have that list. You're taking pictures, but no new pictures today. And so we need to... I guess that's about it. I mean, this is really just an update on where we are with that. Are there any comments, questions, so forth, where we are with us? I think the eventual plan, and I should have brought that, I did have an offer when I was telling someone else about this. Arts Connection has a contact with a mapping program at Esri. And once we identify where these murals are, if we want to map them, it appears that we could do it through the Esri software. Mm-hmm. So that would be really pretty wonderful. And then we would have a map that had a tour map that showed where murals are, the ones that we want people to see.
I thought that's what we were after when you showed us that little book about the historical sites of 76. That's what I told my people that I've talked to. We're going to try to make something similar to that. So if you want to go where these murals are at, you get one of these little booklets, and you can find them.
Exactly.
And then Ezra, you just put it on a map.
Donnie, is that not part of the project that... Art Connection has proposed to only submit that grant?
Yeah, the grant application, it's part of it, but the grant application only refers to the downtown area. So to have that offer to map murals in other areas of the city would be helpful. But yeah, part of it is that mapping that they're going to do if the grant is if we get the grant. Okay. The list of potential historic sites, and that's in here, and it came from that big notebook that's down at the end, which I certainly wasn't going to print that all for you, but and after this was all printed, here's what I found out. That this is only partial, because there was some concern. I mean, as I looked at it, I thought, well, there are houses that I know this was done as an assessment of sites that were built before 1942. And the city hired a company to do this assessment of potential historic sites. So that book has this list. Then I found that there are more volumes and that there are additions. I was concerned particularly about, for instance, the houses on Valencia Avenue are not listed here, yet most of those were built before 1942, and they are historically significant in terms of architecture and so forth. And they're in another volume. So there's more, but this gives you an idea of how extensive that survey was. If you look through here and you see the addresses and you see when either the homes or the sites, and some of them are sites, there's the cemeteries there and some other that aren't on houses. But it's, and then they had an architect who was working with them who was a specialist in styles of architecture. And so you see the styles of architecture and what the material they were built from. And a lot of interesting information in the chance to look at it.
So is your thought to then combine these so that there's a one?
Well, I think this is more just interesting information for you and for you to look through and maybe identify the ones that you're familiar with. A lot of this was done in 1990, and so a lot of those are no longer being raised for one reason or another. Something else has been built there. But it's certainly something to be aware of in terms of why did that company think that these were potential for inclusion in the National Register of Historic Places? But you know, a lot of them are gone. Ritz Theater, that's no longer there. I'm just looking at that one.
And Nadia, I think it's important that we talk about what the list of potential historic sites can mean. It doesn't do us a lot of good to just have a list of buildings that may potentially be historic if we don't have the criteria for the historic sites. And that's
here.
What Rick
there
is.
There may be criteria in here. I don't remember whether there is or not.
I think the problem really is that we need to, as a city, officially adopt a historic preservation ordinance. Currently, we just have the ordinance regarding demolitions and the process that they have to go through for that. But it makes it a little bit difficult to enforce that sometimes because we don't have an adopted set of standards for preserving those sites.
And that's what Rick is going to bring to us. He is a member of the State Historical Preservation Commission. And he was going to bring to us the criteria for making such a decision.
Yes.
And whether it's really worth putting it on a historical site basis.
And the Donaldson report now is probably about 25 years out of date.
Oh, it's 1990.
Yeah, it should, historic sites really should be updated about every 5 years. So it's kind of interesting,
just to look at it. Number one, there are pictures of most of these. And so that's, to look at those and see, why would that be considered potentially a historic site? But I thought simply from the point of view that at some point this assessment was done, probably for a lot of money, and then, you know, this gives us something that we can go back to. I often think of, and I don't know where was here. I don't know where the Historical Preservation Commission was on this in terms of buildings that are potentially more so than any of these, but buildings that are potentially historic sites that are owned either by the city or privately, and then the decision is to put them out to bid, which means that they would be gone. Since I spent a lot of time at one of those buildings, I am particularly aware of that. And so I think, you know, you need to examine this list and see if there are things that you want to know more about. It talks about Valley College. Well, it's really only the Valley College Auditorium that's a historical site at this point, I think. So there are a lot of factors here that we want to look at. And then you have the list from Nick of what are the what he found in terms of the national sites and the it's right after this list. He listed California, the California Office of Historic Preservation listed California resources. He has the ones that are on the National Register. Then he has a state landmark, which is the Arrowhead. And then he has, he and I puzzled over this one. The California Register lists Stevens and Bobbitt Mortuary, and we thought that was kind of a strange one, because that's not an old building. I don't know. And then points of interest, and they were listed in the state material that he looked at. And so those, I think, were mostly, we should be familiar with most of those that are in there.
Pardon me? The 25th Historic District's interesting.
Yeah, it is. The 25th Street Historic District. And then in reading that book, it talks about, and Chantal, again, maybe you have information there, it talks about not only the 25th Street Historic District, but it talks about the Shannon Hills Historic District, which I did not know it was designated, and the Palms Historic District, again, which is some beautiful old houses that are now pretty much apartments on 17th Street.
We've definitely got the resources. I mean, obviously being one of the oldest cities in the region, but we need to adopt some actual standards for preservation.
Yes, and that's why we're here, because that's what he was going to bring to us.
Yeah.
What the criteria? What are you looking for?
Yeah.
Not just as old.
Right.
It's still standing.
And still standing.
it's difficult for us in our department to determine, you know, what calls to make, because there's not always a clear answer because there's nothing officially adopted.
That is, and that, I think that kind of what we're getting at too. Are there sites that we should take a stand on in terms of adopting as a historical site? So that at least somebody has made an attempt to do that. And that's kind of what all these lists are about. And that's why we need the criteria.
Yeah.
Interesting. It is really interesting. It just,
I mean, when you put the California thing in question mark and then you look back on this list, you just have a whole other one. You know, so it's really interesting.
On the California Theater,
yeah.
And he said, Nick said, that is on the National Register.
Why is
I don't know why he has a question mark. He didn't have a number of it.
Evidently, well, that's why I'm wondering, because he's back here.
Yeah, because he has numbers on all the rest. And he didn't understand. He didn't know what the N's and the C's and he didn't know what they were. So I think Rick would be helpful with that. Looking for our agenda here. Front page, that's there. Okay. Oh, I know. Now, there were several, at the last meeting, some commissioners asked for certain items to be placed on the agenda. And one of them came from Rick, and so we'll get something from him later. But, Mr. Cayeros, you talked about the identification and potential replacement of city-owned plaques, and you wanted that on the agenda. And we kind of had an answer at that point in terms of how some of that's happening, but did you have any, do you have some additional questions on that?
Well, no, like you said last meeting, Mr. Jim answered all of all of my questions, so.
Oh, okay. So we're okay there, in fact, of how that works. And then I wanted to share with you, well, no, Mr. Moss had brought up the invitation to the State Historical Preservation Commission for a meeting in San Bernardino on October 24th. And it's similar, it would be really prestigious to have the State Historical Preservation Commission meet here. So there was a question about, are we ready for that? Yeah. we had, actually, the State Board, the State Arts Council Board met here in San Bernardino last month. And so, and they were very suitably impressed. And so by October, we might be able to have at least some sort of a tour, a historic tour, because we know that the block between D&E, around between Court and Fourth and D&E, that's a nice tour because those are all fairly historic, and in the process of some things happening to them. So if we want to issue that invitation, we need to move to do so. Again, the question is,
Have you given thought to a potential location?
For a meeting? I thought that the Garcia Center might work.
It worked well last time.
I think something like that is what it needs to be in a place like that. Or the
that
California
is historic.
Theater, mm-hmm. The upstairs. I mean, something
that's
of that nature. It needs to be that
right.
Kind of a...
And that could be another possibility. California Theater would be another possibility.
In upstairs.
Upstairs in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
With Sturgis, possibly?
Sturgis is another one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that would be another one. Yeah.
And then put together, that we would have some time, but we could put together, if the commissioners so wish, we could put together maybe a hour, 2 hour tour just to some of the more prominent historical sites in the city. So some of them may be from around this area, but I'm sure most of them probably aren't.
From all over.
And aren't aware of the historic sites that we have.
Well, that's true. I mean, within 2 hours, we could totally see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the depot, I mean, there's just so many.
Yeah, right.
Well, so many really lovely places that are nice today that could be shown.
That's true. Not every, and some of them repurposed a little. Like
yeah.
That, like
the depot.
Yeah. So, is there a motion to issue an invitation to the State Historical Preservation Commission to meet in San Bernardino on October 24th? Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded to issue an invitation. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And then we don't have, well, Nick gave you his list, but that's, you've looked at that. And do you have requests for the next, for future meetings agendas? Or do we have enough to talk about without any requests?
I think there's plenty to talk about. I just think we need to get ourselves in front of the city council or whomever as far as this funding thing is concerned. Because
yeah.
To me, that's what's holding us up on really doing stuff.
Well, the funding is there now.
It's,
if we can start that process, like
well,
I said, start the process of the applications.
Well,
and
that's
if we see the need for a carryover, then we request a carryover.
Well, I would like to see the list.
Well, I can prevent it.
The list of what? Of the agencies that would be sending invitations out too.
I can do that.
Okay.
So historically, so list of historic recipients, I guess.
Yeah,
would probably
I guess
be a good
we can
way
do
to put
that. Yeah, and see if there's something new that could be added to that.
Any other?
Yeah. All right. So, are there announcements? Any other announcements?
No.
I was asked to pass flyers out.
Okay.
For a new forum at Cal State.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Okay. Fantastic.
Got any?
Dottie, before you adjourn, I want to
give
Mr. Huntley here a chance to introduce himself. He did such a good job at our agenda review today, telling us about himself. I thought he might want to tell you guys who he is, why he's here.
I'm sorry, dropping in on us.
I appreciate that.
I'm sorry.
So who are you?
So for the benefit of the commission, my name is Michael Huntley. I'm the new director of community and economic development for the city of San Bernardino. I'll make sure I got the city right there. So today's my first day. I've actually worked in public sector for 28 years. Worked for city, all three cities were in the San Gabriel Valley, from City of Montebello, City of Monterey Park, and then Pasadena. So I worked in the City of Pasadena. They have very strong historic preservation ordinance. I know a lot about historic preservation. They also have an arts commission, too, that actually promotes local art and puts our arts and festivals also. So I bring some of that history with me. I have an undergraduate in urban planning from Cal Poly Pomona and a master's in public administration from Cal Poly, I should say, Cal State Northridge. So I'm excited to be here. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'd like to be part of it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
we're so happy to have
really
you.
We're really excited to have
you. Yeah,
we
are happy and we are excited to have you here, particularly that background. Wonderful. I wanted to, again, this is from the California Preservation Foundation, and it has to do with awards. And if you thought that there was a California, if you thought there was a preservation award that you were interested in, there's an application process, a nomination process for California Preservation Foundations. And I only brought one copy of this, I'm sorry. But there's time. Nominations are due May 31st, and so there's time to think about this. If you think the award recognizes projects that have moved preservation forward, consistent with the foundation's mission, and winning projects were selected by a jury of top professionals in the fields of architecture, engineering, planning, and history, as well as renowned architecture critics and journalists. And so it honors individuals and organizations deserving special recognition for their outstanding preservation efforts, as well as projects. There's one for projects. There's another one for efforts. So think about it. And if you think we want to put it on the agenda for next time, we can. If we think that there's something that we think would be worth nominating. And then I'm just going to pass this out because I think it's so beautiful. This is just something that's happening at the Garcia Center on Friday that I think you will find kind of interesting, if nothing else. So if there is no further business, the meeting is adjourned at exactly 5:00.
They haven't changed the clock.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just 5:04.
Nice to have somebody come.
Yes, it is.